Well, imagine with me. Can y'all imagine? Imagine with me the day you learned to walk. That was a long time ago for some of y'all. A long time ago for me too, Randy. But you know what? I don't remember that day, do y'all? You know why? Because it was so, not just because it was so long ago, but because we were so young, right? I mean, it was just one of those things that we don't think about. But we've all seen the process unfold, haven't we? If you have children, or even if you don't have children, you've watched kids do this. They become really adept, really good at doing what? Crawling. Have you ever noticed? They crawl. They can get into lots of stuff crawling, can't they? I mean, you know, oh, would you please stop crawling? But there comes a moment in their life when they have a desire to get up, to stand, to walk, to do more. And then the first thing they do is to stand. I always love watching little ones trying to stand, and they kind of do this thing, you know, where they're just unsteady because they're not good at it yet. And we all know the fear that parents have. They stand up, they're going to fall and hit their head on a coffee table, right? Or hit the floor with their head, or going to bounce off of something, and you're going, oh, please, stop. And you got to go moving furniture around, you know what I'm talking about, so that they don't hurt themselves. But finally they figure out how to walk and to balance themselves and to go in a straight line. And you know, the process of learning to walk, there's an element of faith. Most infants don't think about it because we don't remember anything from that part of our life. But they believe that they can walk. They believe that God designed them to walk and intended them to walk. And they believe that if they practice enough, they will do what? They'll walk. And they'll walk in a straight line. And to do it by their own big selves, right? And they accomplish it. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about a young woman whom God chose to be an active participant in his grand plan. Now, here's a woman who had never had a child before. She was only betrothed, which means that she wasn't fully married. She was committed to be married, but she wasn't married. She'd never done anything to become pregnant. She wasn't even fully matured into adulthood yet. I think she was in her mid-teens at the highest, the oldest. And yet, God sent a messenger to speak to her and say, I've got something for you. I got something bigger for you. I want you to stand up and walk. I want you to do something in my kingdom. Can you imagine? I can't. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I would deal with that if it happened to me. But I want you to see five things from this story, and that's all we're going to deal with this morning. So follow with me. First of all, I want you to see this. God selects whom he will. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, this story follows another story that's got a miraculous event in it as well. You see in the previous verses a guy named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and the scriptures say they were rather mature. We'll just leave it at that. They were old. They weren't able to have children and haven't had children. They've been married a long time. He served at the temple as one of the temporary rotating priests at the worship places there, and they haven't found children to be part of their lives. And yet God breaks in, literally, and changes that reality for them. And they have a son named John. Y'all know the story. And being a relative of Mary's, we find this moment where God stepped into their lives and called them to walk by faith. And now he turns and does the same thing for Mary. 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel arrives in the Galilean city of Nazareth, where two young people who were part of faithful, godly families were living, Mary and Joseph. Now, remember, in that day, marriages were arranged by their dads. Boy, I'm glad I don't have that job. I'm telling you, I don't want to pick a spouse for my daughter or other daughter, the one that hadn't thought about spouses yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. I sure don't want to pick a wife for my son. I don't know if I'd straddle anybody with that boy, you know what I'm saying? But he's too much like his daddy sometimes. But here's the reality. I wouldn't want to do that. But back then, they didn't marry for love like we do. They married because it was a good thing for the family. You're going to put your business and my business together, and our kids are going to come together, and we're going to be stronger financially, socially, emotionally, spiritually. It's going to be good for all of us. That's why we did it. And that was the arrangement that Mary and Joseph found themselves in. Because earlier in their lives, their dads had got together and said, hey, you got a boy, I got a girl, you got a business, I got a business, let's put it all together. Doesn't that just sound romantic to y'all ladies? Yeah, I heard that. It does not, does it? But in these time between the arrangement and the marriage ceremony that would make it formally and official that they would begin to live together and live as a husband and wife fully, she sees an angel show up in a vision. This was not a dream. This was a vision. What's the difference? A dream is something you experience while you're asleep. A vision is something you happen, what? While you're awake. She sees a vision of an angel, a guy named Gabriel, by the way, shows up and says to her, you're the one. I don't know about you. He didn't say it that way. He said what? Greetings to you. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. That sounds much more spiritual, doesn't it? But to hear that, I don't know about you. If I'd have been her, I'd have had alarm bells going off in that moment going, what's going on? Right? When was the last time you had an angel show up in your vision? How about when was the last time you had a vision? These are not common events in life, are they? And yet God steps into her life and calls her into a moment. He says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a direction for you to live in your life. And I want you to understand, friends, for us, that is exactly how our God works in our lives. You're going, well, I've never had an angel show up at my house with a vision. He probably won't. He'll speak to you another way. He might speak to you through a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ. He might speak to you through your local congregation, through your Sunday school class. He may speak to you in another way, but he will speak to you and say, I've got this for you. What are you going to do about it? He won't force you, but he will ask you. He will invite you. And God has selected Mary to be a part of this grand plan that he has in mind. So, with the setting set, let's look at what the angel says. You know, sometimes scripture to me is just almost funny. And bear with me, I don't mean weird, but funny. In that I read this and I go, yeah, okay. God speaks what is best. He's going to speak to her through an angel what is best for her life. Are you ready? The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. Yeah. Last time the angel showed up to me in a vision, yeah, it never happened, right? This is something completely out of the blue, something completely different, new and different and strange. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is not a normal, common occurrence in this setting. Why? Because God doesn't speak often through visions. Does he speak through visions? He does. Does he speak through small, still voices? He does. But I'm going to tell you, if we had time to ask for testimonies in the room this morning of all those of you who have had a vision of an angel showing up and speaking to you, I think we would be done pretty quickly because it's not that common. And yet he says to her, don't be afraid. I've got something for you. Not you don't have a choice, you've got to do it, but I've got something for you to be a part of. And then he tells us what this child is going to be named, what he's going to do, what he's going to be like. Boy, that's some detail, isn't it? He's going to be what? Great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's going to receive the throne of David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom is never going to stop. The God of the universe, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen a teenaged female to participate in God's grand design to bring salvation to the world. That is the essence of what's going on here. He didn't choose a perfect person. Mary was a sinner. Some will tell you, oh no, she was perfect in every way, and she was actually born in the same way Jesus was, with an immaculate conception. That is a heresy from Hades, okay? It's not in the Bible. It's not true. She was just like us. I find comfort in that, don't you? That God can speak to people like us and do something. He invites us to be a part of that. He's going to be great. He's going to hold a preeminence in the world. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's going to have a different position than anybody else. He's going to be on the throne that was promised to David that would never end, and he would reign over the house of Jacob, bringing about the possibility of salvation for those of us who need it. You see, when Jesus speaks, when God speaks, when an angel speaks on behalf of God, he does in a way that brings about the very, very best. This is the best plan for her life. I suspect he does the same thing for us. He speaks to us. You go, I've never heard him speak. I've never heard him audibly speak, but I have sensed in my spirit, in my soul, in my heart, this is what's next. This is the next step in my life. This is what's supposed to happen tomorrow. And I've got to work toward getting ready for that. I remember when I was in youth camp in Oklahoma years ago, I had no intention of ever doing what I do. I had planned on being an attorney. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to law school and get a law degree and practice law. I didn't want to argue cases like the TV shows. I wanted to be, like, you know, behind the scenes kind of lawyer. And I was at camp that week, and God kept speaking to me. I didn't hear his voice, but I knew he had something for me. I didn't know what it was. So I talked to my youth pastor. I talked to my pastor. I talked to some others about it, and I said, how do you know what God has for you? And they said, well, if you can be happy doing anything else, Patrick, go do it. I said, thanks. Great help you are. But God used those words to bring me to a place where I said, okay, God, whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want it, that's what I'll go do. That's my calling to ministry. So I've served in lots of different roles, different places. But God will speak to us what is best for us to do. We have to listen, and then we have to do something coming out of that. And that's what we see next. He's going to support us, though, in our doubts. Look at verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, Gabriel, I understand how babies are made. What? I understand how babies are made. We're not going to talk about it in church this morning. But how can I be a part of that? I haven't done anything. You said I'm going to have a child. How's that going to happen? He says this, how will this be since I am a virgin? We think, oh, the ancient people didn't understand medicine. They probably understood it better than we do, to be honest with you. They figured out a lot of things along the way. And God reveals his selection to Mary to be a part of his plan, and he speaks what's best, and then she's faced with what? A decision. It's a choice she has to make in this moment. Did she have a choice to not carry Jesus? I believe she did. Because God gives us those free will choices in life, doesn't he? We can say, yes, God, I'll do what you want me to do. No, I won't. He, looking at her life objectively, here she is, a teenage girl living in an unimportant city in Galilee. She is not married. It means she's never done anything to cause herself to be pregnant. And to her mind, there's no way this could happen. And while she focused on her lack of intimacy, the issue was really bigger than this. I think she carried with her doubts about her ability to do what God has called her to do. She has doubts about, am I the right person? I'm a nobody. But I want you to consider the bigness of God to let her express her doubts. You ever have doubts in life? Only every day, right? Do you know that our God can handle every one of those doubts? You go, oh, he doesn't want to hear that. He does. He did not stop Mary in this moment and say, hush, you're going to do it. He let her speak her words, speak her doubts. We don't see her not being able to express her doubts. And that's because God is big enough to handle any doubt you have plus 10 more on top of that. So God speaks to you and you go, really? And you go, I don't know. Yeah. I remember coming home from camp that year. I don't know why I'm telling that story today. I hadn't planned on it. And I shared with my mother what I sensed at camp, that God was calling me to go do church stuff. She didn't laugh in my face, but I heard her say to Dad, "Well, that won't last." And my mom was a woman of faith. Don't misunderstand. She knew her son. Let's leave it at that. And she said, "There's no way God's going to use him in any way, any form, any shape or capacity in the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. Not like that." And it took her a long time before she understood that this was what God had spoken and that he was going to make it possible. But she speaks her heart in a moment and God listens. And then the angel goes on. Look at verse 35. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.' And oh, by the way, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." So she expressed her doubts. I think I would have too. And she gets an angel from the Lord. He says, "This is how it's going to work out in your life." Now, I would love to tell you that I fully understood the phrase, "The Spirit will come upon you." I don't. And I don't think we have to. Because when God moves and works, what matters is this: God has been working and moving. And the mechanics of it all is not quite as important as who is the actor in the moment: God. The Spirit would make it happen. She would be told, she was told through God sacrificially made the way. Through the miraculous power of God, she would become pregnant to this promised child. Now, this is the result of this is what's called, and I'm going to use a real big word on you here, but I think it's one that's not bad to learn, is the hypostatic union. Hypostatic union. What does that mean? It's the moment when God and humanity came together to produce the one, singular, who could bring about redemption for fallen humanity. See, it took a human as the sacrifice, but it took God to bring salvation. And by pulling those together in this moment, God did something unique and special and sacrificial, I might add. It means this: God says, "I'm sending my only son to be born of a virgin to create a unique individual to bring about the potential for salvation." The result is a child called Holy. Then as an example, he says, You know, Elizabeth? Yeah, you mean the old woman that can't have kids? Yeah, that one. She's pregnant. I've been working over there too, bringing about what they needed to have the one who would go in front of this child of yours to proclaim he's coming. You see, we need to see for our lives this: God chooses to work through our lives. Do you believe that God can use you in the kingdom of God? I think that's one often where we stop, don't we? We stop and we go, "Oh, you can't use me. There's no way. There's no way. You don't understand. I'm this, I'm this, I'm that. I've got this problem and this. Oh, God can't use me." I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. God will use anybody who's willing to be used by God. And he says, "I will work in your life." It's okay to express doubts. It's okay to wonder what's going on. And God, though, says, "I'm going to sacrificially make the way for you to do this." You see, our God's in the business of performing miracles, great and small, to bring about the very best for the world. The God of the universe, in a supernatural way, joined his essence to the essence of a human, providing the perfect God-man, which would make possible, some 30-something years later, the redemption that we needed for forgiveness. Christmas is a big deal, not because of the trees and the presents and all the lights, because of the one who came. I don't fully understand how it all worked in that moment, but I'm going to tell you this: I believed it. And so, what's left? God says, "Here it is. I got a plan for you. I got this. I want you to do this. Here's what's going to happen. And you're going, oh, my goodness, I don't know. I'm here for you. I've already worked in Elizabeth's life. Now, time to make a choice. God then solicits from us a step of faith. A step of faith. And Mary said, it's one of my favorite scripture verses right here. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. God's chosen Mary. He's spoken the best for her. He's listened to her share her doubts. He's made a major sacrifice to bring about the perfect God-man. All that's left is what? A decision. Mary, what are you going to do? Again, I'm telling you, I really believe with all of my heart that if Mary had said no, God would have gone on and we probably would never have read this story in the scriptures. Or maybe we would have. I don't know. But that's not Mary's response. She could have said no. She could have walked away. She could have said, I don't want to be a part of your plan for humanity. But why would she? We have to believe her past had prepared her some way to be in God's plan. And we don't know what Mary's life looked like before, but I'm pretty sure from what I've studied over the years, I don't think she was the bad girl of the Bible, okay? I don't think she was out doing crazy stuff. I think she was a good, godly daughter to her daddy and mama living in that community. I think they were at the synagogue on Fridays for worship. I think she memorized scripture. I think she did ministries to people and loved people as a kid and as a young adult coming up. I think she was a good gal, okay? So God used her preparation, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to have all of that to be able to be used by God. God takes people who've got terrible backgrounds and changes them in a moment to be like them. And so Mary prays in response to the encounter, says, here it is. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She said, yes, God. Isn't that beautiful? The God of the universe has asked her to be a part of this. And she says, yes. Who? She believed that God's plan was the best for her. You know, I'm afraid some of us would have heard that and go, well, can I get back to you in about 6 weeks? I'll let you know. I'm thinking about it. I'll pray over it. But when God speaks, it's time to step. It's time to go. It's time to do. And that's what I want you to see this morning as we wrap up. We're not called to do what Mary did. But we are called to faithfully follow God when he speaks to us like Mary did. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm pretty much convinced that the best opportunities that we have in front of us are the ones that we go, I can't do that. Because in that moment, then God does it through us. And maybe that's a choice that you've got to make at some place in your life. That you've got an opportunity to serve, a place to minister, a place to serve, to go and to do. But whatever it is, what's holding you back? Oh, I don't know if I believe God. Come on. I don't know if he can use me. Really? He can. And he wants to. And as we listen to him, we'll find not where we're going 100%, but who's leading, and that's what matters. Father, I pray that you'll bless us as we spend just a few minutes responding to your word through song, through prayer, through action, if that's the call for us. God, help us to be people who find ourselves faithful and faithfully serving you and blessing you in our actions. Father, I pray right now for your response to be free and that we would just hear your voice. In your name, amen.